Shakespeare is a complicated man. He usually doesn't like making things easy on us. He uses weird language, hidden meanings, and a lot of genres. Shakespeare loves playing with genres, and he hates making his work be categorized by one. So that's my job. Today we'll dive into A Midsummer Night's Dream and choose one. So, I ask you, what genre is A Midsummer Night's Dream? Hi, I'm Peter Peterson, and from the FHS English Department, this is Episode 5 of Shakespeare vs. Genre. Today's episode was recorded at Sam Porter's basement on December 5th. Also, today, we are sponsored by Sprite Cranberry. Christmas is the thirstiest time of the year. Today, Michael Scott, the well-known Shakespeare professor, joins me in the studio for a discussion on the genre of Midsummer Night's Dream.
Now this is one of my favorite plays Shakespeare ever created. I believe it's the complexity of the play that makes it so outstanding.
I couldn't agree more, Michael. Shakespeare uses his comedic and romantic storytelling strengths perfectly. If you guys, the listeners, have listened to the show before, you know that we kind of like to begin with a brief history of the plays.
Yes, let's go back hundreds of years.
Try thousands, Michael. A Midsummer Night's Dream was written around 1596 or so. He later published in a book form in 1600, making his 12th published play.
Yeah, this time Shakespeare was growing and growing in popularity in England. He had published some of his most popular plays, such as Romeo and Juliet, the Comedy of Errors, and King Henry play trilogies.
Of course, Shakespeare was close to reaching his peak, and he accomplished that by producing more and more plays for the public. But I want to ask you, Michael, is what strays A Midsummer Night's Dream from all of the rest?
Well, you see, Peter, Shakespeare loves to make pieces about England's historical events or happenings. But A Midsummer Night's Dream does not take from an event, but a fictional story, of course.
Now, let's jump into some quotes and scenes in the play. Start off at Act 3, Scene 1. This scene provides us with a well-performed exemplary of comedy.
Yes, the famed asshead scene. This is one of the most famous scenes for its use of slapstick comedy, which is mainly physical humor.
Peter Quince, the director of the fictional play, Pyramus and Thisbe, is the first to notice Bottom's new attire after the magical fairy Puck placed a spell on Bottom, cursing him with such an asshead.
This is my favorite scene for this moment, and it's funny how Peter Quince is just taken aback and terrified by an asshead on a human.
Well, I can't say you're wrong, Michael. The quote from Peter Quince reads, "Oh monstrous, oh strange, we are haunted. Pray, masters, fly, masters, help."
Poor Bottom, so warm-hearted and lovable.
Indeed, Bottom sure is the unlucky one in this play. Now, I say we move on to the next quote we have today. For our next quote, we're still in the same scene, Act 3, Scene 1. Now, with the massive amounts of comedy in the play, the story is also backed up by a never-ending love story, or in this case, love stories. My next question for you, Michael, is the significance of this quote.
Well, Peter, during this story, we have the Fairy King, Oberon, and his trusty and witty server, Puck, both trying to reanimate Oberon's love relationship with the Fairy Queen, Titania, using a love juice extracted from a magical flower.
Now, before going on, Michael, I'd like to add that if you, the listener, have no idea that what we are talking about, then we suggest you read or listen to the play for more of an understanding. Sorry, go on.
No problems, Peter. Like I was saying, the love juice was poured onto the sleeping Titania's eyes, and when she awakes, the first thing that she sees, she will fall in love with. The plan goes to hell when Titania woken early and then expected when Bottom, with his newly acquired ass head, appears singing and wakes her.
So basically, she's in love with a literal ass.
Yep.
Well, the funny thing is how she falls in love and how she is in so much in love with the sight of a human ass. So the love in this play, I guess, is mostly comedic.
In fact, yes, we're presented with two genres, but they're put into a mix, used at the same time. It's interesting.
Now in this scene, Act 1, Scene 1, Lysander brings a perfect quote about true love in this scene, and the quote is one of the most famous lines from the play.
Ah, yes, the course of true love never did run smooth. Yes, Peter, this, or it is one of the most famous quotes because of its truthfulness. True love never did run smoothly. We've seen movies and we've read stories about true love, and if you think about it, has it ever really gone smooth?
Lysander is completely right in this scene. The true love in the play between Hermia and Lysander, of course, doesn't go smoothly because of the love juice.
Plays a very strong role in the play, but so does comedy, and since Lysander is the person who quoted the true love, doesn't run really smooth. Well, in the end, his true love doesn't work, so that gives us an example of ironic comedy.
You're right, we see again more comedy and love at the same time. In this scene, we see another relationship being ruined by the love juice, this time being a friendship. Can you explain this, Michael?
Of course, we are in Act 3, Scene 2, and Lysander has fallen in love with Helena. After being given the love juice, now Hermia is insulting Helena, calling her a juggler, canker blossom, and a thief of love. This gives us some insult comedy, which is one of the forms of comedy used heavily throughout the play.
The more you read through the play, you'll see more and more use of comedy, more than love and romantic aspects. For our last quote and question for you, Michael, is in Act 1, Scene 1, where Lysander is being a realist, like he was in our last quote. Now, I ask you, Michael, why is Lysander such a realist in the play?
Well, this quote being the first example of Lysander acting this way, it's just expectation of this character's structure. Lysander is a smart and witty man with a gallant way of life. He also takes love seriously and reminds us the truth of love, like his true love quote earlier.
I agree. Lysander is complex in a lot of ways.
In the quote, he states obstacles in life and in love. In his realist ways, he states obstacles such as war and fear.
Michael, I don't know if you know, but Lysander is actually a name of a Spartan general who defeated the Athenian navy in the Battle of Agostomi in 404 before Christ. So maybe Shakespeare used a more soldier-like character qualities, like being devoted and loyal.
Well, there you go.
I think by now we can determine this genre of this play. And I'm kind of pointing out the elephant in the room, as in this play is obviously a comedy.
Your Peter, we have a handful of comedies in the play, and yes, there is a strong topic of love, but comedy overrules the love aspects in the play, so yes, I guess this is a comedy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it from the famed Michael Scott, that A Midsummer Night's Dream is in fact a comedy. I'd like to thank you, Michael, for joining me, and I hope you listeners tune in to our next podcast about King Lear coming out next Friday. And our guest is again, Michael Scott.
Yes, it's going to be splendid. And also, thank you very much for having me, Peter. See you next week.
This has been Shakespeare's Versus Genre, Episode 7. And as always, Shakespeare on.